Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this January 29th, session 12-ish, kind of, maybe? I'm not sure.
We lost track already, man.
Your host and program director, James J. Maloff, here with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager. Seth, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hope everyone's having a great Sunday night out there. Oh, man, we got another great musical guest tonight.
Jacked about this one. Seth, the mics are on. Let us roll. We're joined today, storming in here on his What the Hell Am I Doing in Wisconsin in the Winter Tour. Brad Jantz is with us right now. Brad, good to see you.
Ah, it's good to see you. It's good to be up here, even if it is cold and snowy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That shows how much you love this area. You come here in the winter. Like, only real people that love this area come here in the winter.
I made it through it for the first 45 years of my life. So one more weekend ain't going to kill me, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to... especially because Brad's joined us before on the air and everything, but I want to reach people and make sure that people don't know your background, get to know you a little bit. I want to get into that, but before we do, I got to start with that title. I got to start with the title of the tour. It's one of the more original names I've heard of for a tour before. How did that come about?
I was just going to make a Facebook post to let everybody know when I was going to be up here. I'm just thinking to myself, what the hell am I going to Wisconsin in the winter for? So
that's a question we all should ask.
There you go.
Sometimes it's Occam's razor. You know, the simplest answer. It's just the perfect answer. When it comes to touring this area, though, and I do mean that, it says something to want to tour here in the winter. We don't get as many musicians from out of town or anything like that than we normally do. What is it that brings you to this area time and time again?
That's kind of a funny story, actually. A good friend of mine, they own a bar up in Mosinee, Wisconsin here, and I was in town this summer. Actually, I think it was the same week I was in here and talked to y'all and played a show, and I told her, you know, if you want to pick a date up here, I used to play at her bar a lot, I'll come up and play, you pick the date. And well, she sent me a few dates. I was thinking summertime. She sent me a few dates. She's like, my 40th birthday party's in January. I'm like, oh, man, it's summertime. But all right, I'll come up in January.
Pulled you in. Brad, let's get into your origin story a bit. Let's get into you as a musician, you as a creative. How young were you when you first started getting turned on to music and wanting to play music?
I've been a big fan of music all my life. My grandma had a stack of albums in the bedroom when I would stay over there, and I stayed over there a lot when I was a kid. My parents were always fans of music, so I was always a fan, but I'd picked up the guitar. Dad had bought an old guitar at Don Smith Sales, for any of y'all that still remember what that was, that he was going to learn how to play guitar on, and it just sat in the closet. So I got it out one day, but I was still a little too young. I was probably like 9, 10 at that time, and didn't have any lessons or anything, and I just kind of got stuck back in the closet. And then one of the neighbor's kids I started knowing, they just moved in, and he started playing guitar. I'm like, I got a guitar sitting in the closet. I could start learning that too. So I pulled it out, and that time it stuck, and I still am. I think I was 13 or 14 time.
Nice. What were some of the earlier influences for you musically?
The very first influences were like the Waylon Jennings and Stonewall Jackson. I just found a Stonewall Jackson album, actually, one my grandma had when I was a kid.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
There's a big store down there, McKay's, used books and music, and it's just albums for days and days.
God,
and
I
days.
Love stores like that.
One of my favorite places to go, man. But then the 80s came along and the hair bands, and that was about the time I was first learning to play guitar, so it was all...
Right on. I real quickly, big shout out to Radio Chaos, one of our local record stores around here. Love our friends over there. Me too. Yeah, it's a good place. When it comes to the finding those influences, you start forming a voice, you start playing, learning the instrument, all that, the notes, all these things. When do you start kind of getting some confidence that, hey, this is something, maybe I don't just do this for myself. Maybe I start doing this for others.
I'm still working on it.
Still working. Yeah, I hear you. It's a work in progress, ain't it? Yeah, I hear you there.
I started out in bands right away. As soon as I could play my first couple chords, I would go out and play them in front of people, you know, parents and friends' parents. We would go down and give them little concerts. And I started joining bands right away and started learning to play and sing at the same time. So, but it's always, it's, that's a true story. It's always, there's always nerves. Every time I walk into a studio, I walk into, onto a stage, whether it be a songwriter stage in Nashville or a big stage with, you know, 100, 200,000 people, whatever, the nerves are always there. They're always the same. But that's part of what feeds it, I guess. You know, it's same thing a lot of artists will tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad whenever this comes up because I got a lot of young students that I talk to, and they're not just actors, they're writers or different things. They're going to get into other categories, and it always comes up, when do I stop being nervous? And I tell them, like, you never do. I'm nervous right now. Anytime you're doing something live and entertaining-wise and trying to, you know, you're putting yourself out there.
Absolutely.
And you could have nothing but family members out there in the crowd, and you still don't know how they're going to react, right, especially if it's my family. you really don't know. You have no. So the idea of being nervous, I think it's just it's about what the definition means to you. To me, it means I'm engaged. It means I care. If I'm nervous, it means I this means something to me. Mm-hmm. And you get that across, and you start kind of humanizing it a little bit, and you start realizing, well, it's just nerves. It's nothing. Yeah. Let's go do this. Let's have some fun.
Right.
I think that it's important for young creatives to understand that, especially young musicians.
Absolutely it is. It's and sometimes, you know, don't be scared of the big crowds. Sometimes it's the smaller crowds
that are
the most nerve-wracking. Sometimes if there's two people, you know, you're in a corner in a bar and there's two people in there, that's harder sometimes than being on a big stage. Because on a big stage, you can just kind of focus in the back someplace and tend to forget the rest are there. Not forget, that's a bad word for it.
Your mind, I know what you mean. Your mind can only like comprehend a certain number of people, really.
Exactly,
it's like, oh, the one too many, you know, and then that's it. You don't have to worry about it anymore, right?
Yeah, there's just a few people in the crowd. There's no place to hide them.
Yep, that's right.
The audience has to put up with me talking all week. I want to get to your music, but I do got a couple of questions real quick that just kind of came up a little organically. Brad's been sitting with us in studio with the guitar in your hand. Last time you were with us, very similar thing. A lot of our artists do that. I've got students, one in particular that's on Northwestern's basketball team. And every time he's in class, he's got a ball with him. I know for me, when I played trumpet, I carried it with me everywhere.
Sure.
What is it about these things that we want them with us constantly? Even when we're not playing, even when we're not doing it.
It's just a comfort thing.
Yeah, it is.
Gives my hands something to do besides sit and twiddle my thumbs.
it's the reason I got these darn lava rock things and stuff. So I have something to play, keep my hands busy. But it also, I think that it's a great thing too, like to you could not be more familiar with these instruments. The more somebody like you been playing for decades, you always could be more familiar. You could always be a little bit better.
I'm always trying to learn.
I love that part of creativity. I think that's one of the fun things about when we get to do this kind of stuff for a living, that you can always get better, that you can always grow at it. I think that's one of the fun things about
it.
For you, Brad, I like to ask almost every artist this. You play some original stuff. You play some covers. Mm-hmm. For you, what's the difference between the two of those?
Especially nowadays, it's changed some because I used to, you know, when I was in cover bands all the time, it was trying to play what the crowd wants to hear. You know, you don't always necessarily have the connection to the songs. But nowadays, when I'm doing, especially when I do a lot of solo acoustic stuff now, pretty much any song I play nowadays, there's some connection I can find to it, so it becomes a little more personable. But that's the main thing. When it's yours and it came out of your head, it's like, man, this is for the whole world to hear what's going on in my head.
Right, yeah.
And I suppose, you know, going kind of back to the nervousness, that's got to be even more nerve-wracking. It's like, wow, this is something I created, and now I'm putting it out there. What's going to happen?
Absolutely.
You know?
And I'm pretty sure any artist that's ever wrote a song and put it in front of people will tell you.
Oh, I'll bet, yeah.
I heard Carole King talking about that, and especially in early in her career when she didn't do a lot of her own music, but you know, other artists were doing it, and how nervous she would be.
Yeah.
And then when she got to doing it herself, there was a different level of nerves that she didn't even know existed for human beings. Yeah. So she tells it so much better. But that stood out to me a lot. And I know for me, all my favorite artists, one of the things they have in common, they have different genres of music, but they all write their own stuff. There's something a little different there. It's nothing against an artist that writes for another. James Taylor does a great job of Carole King songs and these kind of things. There's plenty of that. But there's something different to it where you can tell. There's a different level to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why don't we go ahead? Is this a good spot to take a break, Seth?
Yeah, we can take one right now.
A little bit later, we're going to tell you about where you can hear Brad live and direct. He, of course, is on a tour right now. We want to talk more about those dates, the What the Hell Am I Doing in Wisconsin in the Winter Tour. I'm going to say that as much as I can. For now, we'll come back. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll let Brad speak for himself. We'll hear some music from Brad Jansen here on Director's Cut. Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut. Seth and James here with you. We're proudly joined by Brad Jansen today on his tour. Brad, I'm going to get out of your way. The WFHR stage is all yours.
All right. Thanks, James. This is when I was sitting in my room at my parents' house here just this morning and thought of this one. This is one I wrote when I was 18 years old. I was overseas, a scared kid over in Germany. I just got there and didn't even know where I had to go or anything, so... The first thing I did to do when I found my place there was go out and buy a guitar and sat down and wrote this song. So I don't play it out a whole lot more, but. There's a storm coming on, smelling in the wind. That funny feeling again. Somebody help me, I think I'm going down. I'm singing the same old familiar song. Somebody, couldn't you please take me home, back to that same old place I belong. It's been too far, too long, too far gone. My guitar's kept me rolling along. I've got six strings for my best friends, playing the same old song again. I've been wondering lately what I'm doing here. This lonely road ain't heading nowhere. Feels like I'm going in circles, think I'm going insane. Somebody help me, I think I'm going down again. Somebody, couldn't you please take me home, back to that same old place I belong. It's been too far, too long, too far gone. My guitar's kept me rolling along. I've got six strings for my best friends, playing that same old song again. Couldn't you please take me home, back to the same old place I belong. It's been too far, too long, too far gone. My guitar's kept me rolling along. But I've got six strings for my best friends, playing the same old song again. Play for my kid when he was young. It's an old Garth Brooks song about cowboys, and I love cowboys. Pushing on's when he's like movie said it was. But I don't recall no dance on girls, hotel rooms, or drugs. You worked hard and died nasty and rode your ponies head to love. There was all those nights you couldn't sleep, cause it was too damn cold, and you'd sing Strawberry Roan and Little Joe. Like the time we hit the river and the rains began to fall, and the water was rising so damn fast it thought it drowned us all. We lost a lot of steers that day and 45 good mounts. But when all the boys rode into camp, we knew that's what counts. And we sang Yippee-ki-yay and Amazing Grace. Oh, the lightning broke behind us and it took us by surprise. I whistled out to Bonner, I seen tear in his eyes. He rode for all his horse could ride, and know he'd done his best. But he crossed over Jordan, riding down to his death. And we sang, bringing in the sheaves and the rugged cross. If you see the cowboy, he's not ragged by his choice. He never meant to bowl those legs, put that gravel in his voice. He's just chasing what he really loves, and it's burning in his soul. Wishing to God that he'd been born 100 years ago, still singing Yippee-ki-yay and Amazing Grace.
We're listening with Brad Jansen here as he is in the middle of his tour. What the hell am I doing in Wisconsin, the winter tour? Great name. God, it gets me every time. Brad, I want to talk about the new album. How's that going, putting that together?
Fantastic. We're just about done with it. I was there late at night, even till the night before I came down here. We're putting final mixes on everything, and he just sent me one of the last mixes today. I've got to go back when I get back down there, go over to his house one more time, and we'll send it out to mastering and start designing. I've got to go down with my kid and his girlfriend are helping me design the whole CD jack and everything.
Cool.
So
nice.
I've got to go to Missouri after I get back from Wisconsin and go over there and do a photo shoot with him and design all that, and then hopefully it'll be out by spring here.
Where is the where is home base for you?
It's about an hour west of Nashville, actually. It's a little town called Charlotte, Tennessee.
Cool.
Beautiful little town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah, I've heard of it. I gotta check out Tennessee. I've heard so many good things. It sounds like my kind of place, too.
I absolutely love it down there.
Best barbecue? No.
We're not starting that.
No. We're getting that to debate. When it comes to the songwriting for that album, Brad, are you still tinkering with songs? Have you got it all pretty much written?
It's all recorded. It's all in the can. The tracking is all done. Oh, okay. It's down to the final mixes now. Right, and then the guy we're sending it out to master is he's been mastering down there for years. He's done stuff for pretty much every big name down there. So,
ooh, nice.
Hopefully it'll sound as good as I'm. as I hear it in my head.
Yeah.
What was the writing process like for this album?
There's a couple on there that I wrote myself, and then that were just pieces of me. Those are seriously pieces of me. And then I played a few last time I was here that I wrote with my friend Marcus out in Oregon. There's a couple of them on there, actually several of them on there. Those are all just kind of pieces of me and him. We'll just sit and talk, and either one of us will have an idea for a song, or maybe one will have one that's something they started and just didn't go any further with. But they're both pieces of both of us. And then one I really, really love on here, it's a straight up rock and roll song. Maybe I'll have you guys play that one off. I wrote with Brennan. He's the guy that's my sound engineer, musical mastermind, mad scientist.
I got one of those right over here.
He's just a genius when it comes to music, and we wrote this one together, so we put everything we've got into this one.
Nice.
And my kid even's got a little small part in it. So.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Which was very cool. My kid got to be there for the whole tracking process when we did it, so that was fantastic.
I want to touch on that real quick, because you mentioned that they're helping you with the album cover and a lot of the art and those things. The idea of getting to work with your kids, like doing this stuff already feels good, but then you add that into
fantastic. I'll try and condense this real short, but we didn't get to see each other a whole lot when he was growing up because he lived quite a ways away after my mom and him got divorced, his mom and me got divorced. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get to hang out much. So we're finally at the point in my life where everything's settled down and we can get to hang out. So this was just a fantastic bonding experience for us too.
Thanks for sharing that, man. Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I got three, they're all in their mid-20s, and similar story, and now in their 20s, we're closer and bonding more than ever.
Absolutely.
And I got no words. Like, I can't even talk about it without getting emotional and everything, how great it feels and stuff. And then you add on, like, because my oldest daughter, Bria, she's a writer. She's writing plays and things like that. And you're getting to work with her on that level.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that was an option. I didn't know that was something you get to do. Like, nobody told me that as parenting and stuff like that. It's so much fun.
It's way better when you're, everybody's.
It's really cool. And it adds, like, there's doing this, and I think we forget this sometimes with artists. We look at the big names and we see the headlines and the fame and all this stuff to it, and that stuff's good for some people. The majority of us that are creatives, the majority of us that do this, we want to make a living doing what we do. That's the American dream. That's just the human dream, is to make a living at doing something you love to do. But when you get to do it with collaborate and work with people that you love, you care about, let alone family and there is no words for something like that.
Right.
That's cool. I appreciate you sharing that, brother. Thank you. That's really cool. And we really cannot, I think we've undersold this a little bit, Seth.
Yeah.
We get to play new music from you, man.
Absolutely.
You're letting us do that. Thank you.
This is nobody's ever heard this except my kid, my engineer, and my wife. So.
Man, how cool is that?
We're going to be broadcasting it all through central Wisconsin here.
Yeah,
so
this is the only place you'll be able to hear it until the CD, until it's released.
Be sure to spread the word about this too, everybody.
Yeah.
The show, Brad's work and everything, that's what we do here at WFHR. It's taking care of our local artists and our local people, and we appreciate that. You sharing that with us, Brad. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So for the first time anywhere, here we go. A couple of tracks from I'm guessing you don't even have a name for the album yet.
I do. Oh, it's actually called Long Gone Time.
Long Gone Time.
Good
okay.
Good name.
This is first time anywhere. Here you go.
Just the whiskey and me. flying man. They'll all say, man, I don't want me nothing. No, nothing.
Oh, say.
We're in studio right now with Brad Jansen. We just heard a couple of tracks from his soon-to-be-released new album. Yes, you're the first to hear it out there in Radio Land. In fact, he and just a couple people have heard that one before. And Brad, I wanted to ask you, so what's it like now that you've done all the work, you've done all the recording, and you get to actually listen to the finished product? What, what does that feel like? What does it sound like to you?
It's fantastic, man. This is the most proud I've ever been of anything musical in my life, by far and away. I've been in the studio quite a few times in the past doing different projects and stuff, but this is just another level of... This is me on a CD. It's...
The personalness of it is because it's just it's you. It's
your
song.
I was just so involved with this. Most of the stuff I've done in the past, a lot of it was just vocals and stuff on it. This one, I'm playing guitar, all the rhythm and the bass on it, and the drums on it are actually a good friend of mine down in Tennessee. There, he's I met him through my good friend. I think I told you about him last time that passed away this summer. They played together for T.G. Shepherd, or he still plays with T.G. Shepherd.
Wow.
So, yeah, I sent him to him just a rough scratch track, and he sent him back and said, I hope this is what you want, because you didn't give me a lot to work with here. I'm like, this is perfect, man. So we built it around that. It's...
Brad, one of the things that I caught listening to you, and I was picking up on it in studio here, but I really heard it in the CD, the recording, how good your voice and that guitar sound together. Like, we got to hear you and a friend of yours there, and I want to talk a little bit about that harmonizing, but I don't think, I think about that stuff very often, of how good a certain guitarist sounds with a certain sound. I think one of the, I love Carlos Santana. And I think one of the things that pulls me to him is the way the musician, the guy who's singing usually sounds so good with his work. There's a lot of that stuff. Is that something that you thought about before, or just kind of happened organically, just the way it worked out?
Just organically, I think. It's just a, yeah, you kind of sing around your guitar a little bit, I guess. Maybe some of it, it kind of works in harmony together. And then my buddy Brennan on there is just such, like I said, I can't sing his praises enough. He's just so easy. He got my vision better than I got it sometimes. Nice. So.
Brad's, we don't get to say this enough. I think actually more artists are like this than people realize, but we don't get to say it very often. Brad's too humble. You're telling us that you didn't just do the guitar, the lyrics, the vocals, all this stuff. You were also doing bass on this album.
I did the bass I did the bass on every song.
It's awesome.
And, and Brennan did the lead guitars and the slide guitars. And there's some that'll have a mandolin on it. He did that too.
Oh, wow. I'm a sucker for a mandolin. That is awesome to hear. That is really cool. Let's talk about the first track we played and then the next one. That first track, how did that one come about?
That one was one I wrote with Marcus, and I just came to him with a title. I was like, I got this title. It's kind of stuck in my head, Whiskey and Me. And he's like, ah, yeah, I like that. So we sat down, and it started out it was going to be a little more of a party song, but once we started getting into it, it just kind of got darker and darker. And it's
like it's drinking.
It's
yeah, right.
It's, okay. It's a dark song, and it I've been at some dark places in my life at times, and it kind of delves into that on another level, even besides where I've ever been. But I've also lost a lot of friends to alcohol and alcoholism and drugs and everything else, and it's just it's dark, but it stands a hair up. I've listened to it 1,000 times, and it still stands a hair up in my arms.
That's something, yeah.
One of the things that I enjoy about music is how, you know, two guys like you and I, probably, and Seth included in this, all three of us probably were born and raised very differently. You talk about subjects like that, we're on the same page. Right. Well, I immediately feel, we are not going to feel the same things, of course, but we're going to feel something similar. Somebody who's lost a lot of people like that too, and immediately pulls you in. Like, I hear that, my ears perk up. I'm like, okay, you know, these relatability things that we find that connect us more. Mm-hmm. And I think we're always looking for more of that in society. We're always looking for more ways to bring out the empathy in people, to show that, hey, we're more alike than we're different.
Right. Yeah, right.
That our differences only make us that much stronger individually, but we're nothing without each other. And when we kind of lean on each other, when we see these connections, music does that so perfectly.
Absolutely. It sure does.
There's a lot of other mediums that do it, but I don't think there's anything that
nothing
hits
like
you.
Music.
Yeah, like that music does. And you hear a song from an artist that you've never met. You've never been in the same room with them.
Right.
But you feel like they wrote that song for you.
Absolutely.
There's something about that that only music can do. Mm-hmm. That's really cool to hear that, as much as I feel for you, brother, and I wish you didn't have that stuff and you're just writing party songs all the time.
All right. Yeah.
It is kind of cool to have that connection, to be able to feel that.
Right.
The other part of it, too, for the artist that I know as a writer, I feel all the time. Do you find a little healing with some of this? Just not absolutely. Even just from writing it, but getting to this point in the game where you're
oh, there, absolutely. Absolutely. So it, there's no doubt about it. I don't even know how to describe it, but yeah, when you listen to it, I cried on the way up here. I was listening to this over and over on the way up here, and I got my stereo in my car dialed in just right, and both of them songs just started bringing me to chills, and I just thought of all the things I've went through, and yeah, started crying driving up here.
Wow.
It's that kind of stuff, though, that's what not only brings it out of you and gives you that, because when you write this stuff down, first and foremost, you're the only one that knows. You could just toss it up and throw it away like, whoa, that's way too personal. I ain't letting people see that in me.
Right.
But you choose to go forward with it.
Right.
That's brave. That's being vulnerable. That is such, like, that's where the best stuff is. That's where the real art is. That's cool to hear that you did that you're willing to do those things, too. And I think that's encouraging to other young artists out there. No matter what you're doing, you're an artist. Right. I don't care if you're a mechanic. You're an artist. And to be able to take chances, to be vulnerable, that's just life in general.
Right.
That's cool to hear, man.
Thanks, man.
Well, I think we need some more music.
That's what I wanted to go to. Thank you. I'm tired of hearing myself. I want to hear Brad.
So we're going to have Brad play a couple more songs here for us.
All right, this one here is this is gonna be on the album here. This one we did some really cool things on the album with. So listen to the album when it comes out and buy it. Hopefully you like it. This is a title track. This one's called Long Gone Time. One more ride through the darkness, looking for the other side. I'm stumbling around like I've always done, just trying to walk that line. A wailing tune in a smoky barroom, begging mama for another dime. Dreams of living like a rambling man, the young man's been gone for a long gone time. Real, but there's no guarantee to sell your soul for a song. That you may never even learn how to sing. Sometimes words come out wrong. One more ride through the darkness, I'm looking for the other side. Stumbling around like I've always done, just trying to walk that line. A wailing tune in a smoky barroom, begging mama for another dime. Dreams of living like a rambling man, the young man's been gone for a long gone time. On the page, match lines on my face. They've all got a story to tell. It's bitter and it's sweet and it's long in the teeth. Now it ends, I guess time will tell. One last ride through the darkness, I'm looking for the other side. I'm stumbling around like I've always done, just trying to walk that line. A wailing tune in a smoky ballroom, begging mama for another dime. Dreams of living like a rambling man, the young man's been gone for a long gone time. The young man's been gone for a long gone time. The young man's been gone for a long gone time. The young man's been gone for a long gone time. The young man's been gone. All right, this one here, just so y'all don't think it's all just darkness and gloom on this CD here. Here's a happy, just a happy little song I wrote with my buddy Marcus. We were talking about our hometowns, and he started talking about the little gas station that he used to go to that was now a coffee shop. And I was like, I got almost the same exact story. So we sat and wrote a song about it. This one's called Little Gas Stations. It's where everyone got. It's where the youngsters work. It's where farmers swap stories over coffee in the morning before they plow dirt. When you're a kid, it's where you hear the old times. Learn what you need to know, don't get in school. At the little gas stations all across the nation, little towns are homeward bound. When you pull up to the pond, fried chicken and JoJo, Mollies and bonbons, comfort food, old friends and new, all that and more is found. The little gas station could be down on Main Street, across from the barber shop, or all alone on the country road, the only place for miles to stop. It slows down time when you coast on in. Laughter, tears, and auto repairs, you're welcome wherever you've been. To the little gas stations all across the nation, little towns you're homeward bound. When you pull up to fried chicken and JoJo's, Mollies and bonbons, comfort food, old friends and new, all that and more is found. The little gas station. Gone for a while, but to my surprise, that little station had been replaced by a drive-through coffee line. There was a young barista, she didn't know one was there before. And like the old diamonds, I had to remind her of places we all used to go. Little gas stations all across the nation, little towns you're homeward bound. When you pull up to the pump, fried chicken and JoJo's, tornadoes and corn dogs, comfort food, old friends and new, all that and more is found. Little gas station at the little gas station.
Back to Director's Cut here. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. I encourage you to take on the podcast, spread the word about the show, and spread the word about Brad Jansen's music and his tour. Brad, let's tell people where they can hear you on this tour that you're on right now.
Well, this weekend here, I guess I'll already have been there and probably at home.
I thought of that too as we were bringing you in, brother. I did. I'm like, oh, dang it. Like,
probably at my parents' house, slightly hungover by this time Sunday night. But Friday night here, Friday night, I'll have played at headquarters downtown Wisconsin Rapids. This is going to be a fun show. I'm going to do an hour of my songs and stuff. Then I open the stage up. We're going to have it set up open jam style. Any of my buddies that I used to play with or whatever, quite a few of them I think are going to be coming out and playing with me. So that'll be a fun one. I hope a lot of people show up for that because we're just going to have a good time. And then Saturday night, Salty Bones up in Mosney for Bonnie Bray's 40th birthday.
All right, nice.
That's awesome. Both great places, too. Absolutely. Both great spots. And, well, yeah, by the time people hear this, it will have happened and all that.
Hopefully you were there and we all had a good time.
Yeah, there you go.
We will be talking about this on the morning show on Friday. We'll be talking about an Over the Back Fence on Saturday. We'll send some people your way.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Where can people catch your music or keep up to date on, like, when the new album's going to be released and drop and all that?
I'm on all the socials, Brad Jansen, J-A-N-S-S-E-N, music. You can find me on Facebook, on Instagram. My boy just talked me into starting the TikTok, so I'm trying to learn the TikTok world. And said right. I'd never do it, but here I am.
Well, you never know.
And then, once we get everything done, I'll be setting a release date for all the Spotify and Pandora and all them. So I'll let you know on Facebook, and then if everybody could pre-save it once it comes out, because that just helps me get into their algorithm.
That's right. Yes.
And then I'll be coming through this summer doing a CD release when the CD's ready.
All right.
We're some of your biggest fans, Brett. So as soon as that happens, I promise we'll be spreading the word about it. I myself am going to be downloading and listening to a lot of this stuff too. I cannot wait. And I'm really looking forward to the audiences, more and more people getting to be able to turn on to your music and stuff. We have every guest answer a simple question for us before they leave. So real quick, before you get out of here, if you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
It is. It's a good tough one.
John Wayne.
Oh, that's a good
great
one.
Great answer. And my mom's favorite actor. You just made my mother's
mine, dad. Too. There's been points in my life where I was down to pretty much nothing but a cold roof in Wisconsin in winter with no heat. And all I had was a TV and John Wayne movies. And me and my little dog, Max, laid there for a month one time doing nothing but watching the same 30 John Wayne movies over and over.
Savior.
It feels like an old friend. So, John Wayne.
There you go.
Oh, that'd be a good one, too. I immediately thought of the Cowboys. Like, that's one of those ones that I watched like a billion times. Man, that's such a good one. That's a great answer, Brad. That's awesome. This has been a great time.
Yes, it has.
We really, really enjoyed this, brother.
Oh, thanks, guys. I really enjoyed it.
The only catch is that you did too good, just like you did the first time. You're going to have to
come
back.
Coming back again.
I will come back every time.
Especially, you do end up touring around here in the spring, summer, something like that.
I'll be coming through on a, we're going to put together, me and Brennan and his wife are putting together a tour for this summer. We're going to work our way from Tennessee to Wisconsin and then through Michigan and all the way out east to New York, that area. So I will definitely let you all know when I'm coming through.
Nice. Looking forward to it, Brad. Seth, Brad, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you both. Thank you to the audience for listening. The credits are rolling. The band is playing. It is time to wrap up the show.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, don't forget to check out Director's Cut on civicmedia.us. All the podcasts are there. You can listen to Brad anytime you want there as well. But, of course, check out his music. Check out his places where he is. And hopefully we'll be talking to him again very soon this summer. Once again, thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye.